Lindsay Kitchen, the English florist. Today, keeping the faith and a special friend.
Welcome to the podcast, Series 3. Who knew I would get to Series 3? Neil James is the podcast editor, is going to be on this particular podcast, Episode 1 of Series 3.
I'm allowed out my box for this
one. He's come up.
Normally I have to stay very quiet.
Yeah, you do.
It's getting harder because my seat since lockdown is not doing it. It's got more creaky. There we go. So I have to stay very silent and very still usually while you're doing this.
So I decided that it's the elephant in the room if I just start talking about the workshops that are coming up and the online how to do the flowers downloadables. But I feel like we should kick off this series about the current climate of where we are with this whole pandemic and how it's affected our section of the industry, hospitality, weddings, events, you being a photographer, wedding photographer, and me being a wedding florist. How are you feeling about it? Because it's pretty dire at the moment. I'm feeling pretty, well, I just feel like we should air what a lot of people are feeling. Some people like me say it how it is. I wear my heart on my sleeve. And a lot of people are just carrying this enormous burden and internalising it. And I just wanted to, just explore it with a fellow industry colleague.
As a wedding photographer, I remember in March watching, I described it as the numbers were falling off the spreadsheet. Like they'd been glued on and somebody had unglued them. And everything moved, and it moved later on in the year, in the winter, and then it's suddenly moving again because people have said, "Well, I don't want a wedding with 15 people. Why do I?" And you know, I think they were accepting of it when it was 30.
Yes.
But then when it became 15, it was, look,
it's not viable.
I'm giving up. Yeah. I'll have it next year. What worried me most was over the last week, and it wasn't helped by the announcement of non-viable industries by the Chancellor and so on and so forth. Whether that's exactly what he said amounts to it. And then everybody started panicking again. So the weddings that were in April, some of them now have moved to 2022. There's only so much moving within your business that you can do.
And there's only so much accommodating we can do for our clients when we're not actually earning an income ourselves. And I think that's the bit that we're all terribly, terribly anxious about. I mean, we're in up to our necks now and we are treading water. And it's how much have we got left to keep our heads above water? Yeah. I think that's where a lot of people are at the moment. And I know, I mean, we're in the wedding industry, but there's, you know, music, there are all sorts of creative theatres. Yeah. They're all in the same boat. We're all literally, and my son, he's a chef and his restaurant hasn't reopened. And so he hasn't worked since March. And it's incredibly depressing. And I keep saying to him, you know, well, thank God you can come home. So he's not even living in London now. He's come home so he doesn't have to pay any rent. We're waiting for the restaurant to open.
So that's the domino effect, you see, because then he's come home.
Yes.
So he's so the businesses around him are not receiving money for him eating out.
Exactly.
His landlord is no longer going to get a monthly, you know, rent. So the domino effect, I think, in the wedding industry is more than people would ever know.
It's huge.
And it does seem, and I panicked, I don't know how you feel, but panicked is the wrong word. I worried that to talk about weddings really seemed rather
trite
and fluffy.
Yes, I feel the same.
Why should I be talking about weddings when there's people dying?
Well, that's how I feel about it. But it's our income. It's your mortgage payments. It's the food on the table.
And I think that's why the Chancellor saying, you know, we can help viable industries. It was a real ouch moment for me. Because it was
are we
like,
not viable?
Oh, you know.
Is eating out viable?
Yeah.
That's what it's like, there's my husband working all of this time, saving the world, as we like to say. He's still in detention. He still hasn't got the vaccine, by the way. It's on its way, but it's not anytime soon, can I just say. Mm. And you suddenly feel like your industry is not important, but it is important because they're all building bricks to a whole society. Mm. And so we do have value. We do add value to our lives.
Look at the wedding venue. So if you look at so there's the butcher and the and the greengrocer that supply all the goods to the kitchens, who also have somebody who comes around to service the equipment.
And it goes on.
The gas supplies, the electricity supplies that feeds back into the bar, and the bar and the bar stocks.
Exactly. And then the alcohol industry.
The alcohol industry. And then you look at the flowers.
Yeah.
And your wholesalers.
Yeah.
And even the things that the flowers sit in. And all these small jigsaw-y bits that, that are beginning now to, you know, if it was a jigsaw puzzle, you'd say, oh my word, there's so many missing bits.
Well, that's
it. Who bought this jigsaw?
That's how I feel. It's just, it has such a knock-on effect. And, you know, how do we cope with this all? And, I mean, we've just had a chat before we went on air about, you know, colleagues who are internalising it and don't share. There are platforms where everybody's raging. There's the whole hashtag whataboutweddings, which I haven't really subscribed to because I am married to a medic, physician, pharmaceutical man. I feel like I can't... It does feel like a frivolous industry, but... It's not frivolous when it's your livelihood. Mm. And so I'm caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. And I just wanted to reach out and discuss today to make people realise that we are valid. Mm. What we do is really, really important, and how we keep going. Mm. I mean, if you do have a partner that has an income, thank God you're one of the lucky ones, because if you are married to a partner who's also in one of those industries, then this is a terrifying time. It's really, really bleak. And I didn't want it. It's not trite. It's not fluffy. It's bloody important. It's really crucial that we acknowledge that we're all building blocks in this big society that we live in. So what do we do? What have you been doing? I mean, I know for me, after that initial fallout of just falling down a hole and feeling utterly depressed and lost, I kind of pulled myself up and out, and I have been, well, what have I been doing? I have been doing funerals. I have been doing gift bouquets. I'm not earning significant money like I would if I was working in doing weddings and things, but I am still turning over a pathetic little income. Mm. And Rishi I obviously qualified for
There were various systems. Yeah. There was a business bounce back and so on and so forth. Yeah. And grants if you had property.
So, I qualified for that, but I know those people that pay themselves dividends didn't qualify for that. And so, you know, it's really complicated because within the industry and how we run our businesses, some people qualified for income support and other people didn't. And that's quite, I think, has left people quite bitter as
There was a word that popped up, and for a while I got absolutely sick to the back teeth of hearing it. There were two phrases, actually. Socially distanced. Should we have a socially distanced meet? But that's for a different conversation altogether. I just got a bit sick and tired of that.
Yeah.
And I thought, I know the rules.
Yeah.
We stop using that expression. But that's a different thing. But the one, in terms of business, if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times in those sort of March, April, May. Everybody's got to pivot.
You've got to
change the direction of your business and the things that you do. And it drove me mad hearing this word pivot, because it seemed to be this phrase that had come out a bit like social distancing, I suppose, and things that we'd never heard before.
Yes.
But I have had to think about pivoting. I have had to think about how I would change my business.
Me too.
So, you know, in terms of photography, I can no longer be just a wedding photographer.
No.
Just seems such a terrible expression. But I will have to do what I did when I first started. I'll have to be a commercial photographer.
Yes.
I can make films.
Yes.
I can make podcasts.
Yes.
I can do all those different things, and that's what I'm gonna have to embrace more of my jack-of-all-trades abilities.
Yeah. You're diversifying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm doing. Exactly what I'm doing. Unfortunately, I was in a position already that I was teaching, and so I've broadened my platform for teaching. And where normally I would, if I had an event, a wedding, I would not necessarily, I could turn away funerals and things because I, you know, I work for myself and there's only so much I can do. But I have opened up that. And so I'm doing lots more gift bouquets, subscription bouquets, and I'm accepting lots more funeral work. and I'm teaching.
When you say you're accepting more, did you sort of have a limit on the amount of certain genre style jobs you would do?
Because mostly I could run my business and afford to live off one or two weddings a week.
Yeah.
And if I could squeeze in something smaller, gift bouquet here and there, I would, as a gesture of goodwill more than a financial thing. But since lockdown, I have done lots more deliveries locally. Mm. And I've taken on a lot more funerals, for example. And then as we've come away, I feel like there's a whole cross-section society. There's a whole group of people who've just got back to work. It's hardly affected them at all. And then there's people like you and I where it's been 100%. Yeah. I've literally had no work. And so I've been able to say yes to those things that I might not ordinarily do. And as we've gone through August and into September, I started thinking about, okay, so I can have people in the workshop. I can socially distance. We can do that. I've taught a group workshop just last week. And going forward for things like wreath workshops, subject to what happens, because it's just that unknown quantity, isn't it, of whether we will be able to have gatherings of any sort in the middle of winter. But socially distanced workshops, whereas I would normally teach 25 to 30 people in a workshop, I can do 12 because I need that meter plus space between them all. And yes, I am embracing it. And yes, I will be able to do more wreaths because I haven't got any wedding. All my weddings for December have all gone. Yeah. There's two in November. One of them's just literally having a ceremony, and then they're having their big reception 13 months later.
Another time,
and the other one moved from April to November and said, well, we will have the wedding even if it's 30 because I just want to get married. And I can only diet and stay in that wedding dress for so long, Lynn. And I completely understand where she's coming from. And I want to have a baby next year. You know, a lot of my couples are in their 30s and they get married. So they go through the rites of passage for, you know, getting married and then having a baby. Yeah. And so they've decided with the heaviest of hearts, I mean, genuinely so upset that they will get married in church. There will be 15 people. Mm. That's not even two families coming together. Yeah. That's just cherry picking, essentially. Mm-hmm. And they're going to just get married. And then what they do next year, I don't know. I think they're going to have a baby. So I've had to accommodate all of my clients because they're in this too. I've had to just embrace what they need from me rather than say, well, I'm sorry, I don't get out of bed for less than £2,000 weddings. There's no right or wrong way how we deal with this. There's no right or I haven't got the answers for how to kind of take your floristry business forward. All I'm saying is this is what I'm doing. I've just accepted it. Rather than fight it, rather than just throw in the towel, I'm just, okay, whatever I can do, I'm going to do. And I'm in communication with a lot of other florists as well. I'm talking to them. I'm hearing them say, look, you know, if it doesn't sort of sort itself out by spring, I'm closing the business. There are people out there.
How do you feel about that?
I feel I'm in a very privileged position and I'm not flippant about that at all. I have a husband that is in work.
Yeah.
Therefore, I can get through this financially with regard. So I can almost sit it out in a way.
Yeah.
I want to keep going. This job, doing the flowers, is everything to me. It, you know, my children have all left home now. It is my hobby. It's my passion. It's my business.
Mm.
And so I can sit it out because I'm in that privileged position. And I'm not smug. Mm. I'm because I have children. My sons are in really feeling the burden of, you know, the economic knock-on effect of this pandemic.
I think this is the time to actually be communicating.
Yes.
And I think the more you communicate with people, the better ideas you'll get, help each other, and we'll all come out of this.
Well, that's why I felt that the podcast needed to start on this. And we did talk originally about not talking about this because we feel like it's been done and dusted. But we have to talk about it because there are so many people out there, so many florists, whoever listens to my podcast listening to this, and it has to be acknowledged that, you know, we never saw this coming, not in a million years. When we, you know, in March when we were chatting about this, did I imagine I'd be sitting here in October looking at a completely decimated industry or industries, you know, the whole hospitality, as I say, the theatres, the arts industry, it's just decimated. But we will come back. Not everybody will, but you know, we have to hang in there. We have to support each other. Yeah. I think that's really, really important.
Are clients coming to you saying, there are people, of course, who it hasn't touched. So you're still getting clients coming to you saying, well, I want to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
The what's stopping it now is not people having necessarily the money to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But the rules.
Yes, exactly that.
And that's the thing. That's the hardest bit, because you just can't plan.
No, you can't. And also people want to bend rules and they go, well, you know, we're in a bubble socially. We can have that, you know, that workshop and it can be at my house. And it's like, well, no, I'm sorry, but you do actually have to socially distance. Your version of a bubble is different to what the government says. Yes, and yes. And therefore, if you want me to teach your workshop, you will all have to socially distance. Yes. And you will all have to wear masks, and I will wear a visor, or you can wear a visor or whatever. And I need to look at the size of that room to see whether that's feasible, because I'm not going to turn up and teach you a wreath workshop if you're all just sitting around the dining room table and there's 12 of you. Yeah. No, it's not happening, because I have a social responsibility. You know, it's just rules are rules, and I'm not being a jobs worthy. You know, people are dying. You and I might not be dying from it. We may have had it, who knows? But people are still dying of it, and it is a very serious, serious situation we're in. So, yeah.
I know you're quite keen to talk about how to get creative again and start the creative juices flowing again.
Yeah.
But let's just channeling it back towards weddings for a moment.
Yeah.
Of course, the size difference, I wonder how much of a difference that's made to you as a florist.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. So for me...
Well, it's actually not huge.
Well, actually, no, the weddings are definitely not huge at the moment, but the impact is enormous in the sense that, you know, most of my weddings would have been 100 guests plus, up to 200.
Yeah.
And there we are down to 30. And it's
then 15.
And then 15, exactly. Yeah. And so we're now down to 15. For most people, understandably, that is too small. I mean, I lost my father at 6 weeks ago, and we originally had 30. Well, we did have 30 at the funeral, but then we couldn't have the wake. And it was so hard. Even 30 to choose was impossible. We didn't have a wake, but my mother has dementia, and so my brothers and I have been going in caring. So we formed this bubble just by sheer necessity, and so there are 13 of us, just my two brothers, and our wives and husbands and our children, and my mum was 13 for the non-wake, shall we say. So I can imagine if you've got a wedding party and you've got the bride and the groom, or the bride and the bride and the groom and the groom and their families, how do you narrow that down to 15?
Well, it's not even 15, because the number has to include the registrars, the celebrants.
Exactly.
And also if a photographer is present.
Exactly. So you're looking at 12, so that's
in.
6 and 6.
Yeah.
It just, for most people, it doesn't work. So I think, so one of the things I've thought about a lot over this time is the importance of being married, and everyone's saying, well, you can't have a wedding. Well, excuse me, yes, you can have a wedding. It's about two people. And if they just want to get married, then they can. And if my clients want just to get married and, you know, virtually have nobody there apart from a witness, then I'm all for that. And if they want me just to make them a bouquet and a buttonhole, then let's do it. And I feel
whereas
like
in the past you would not have done that.
No, I wouldn't have done, because, you know, economically it's just not viable. But we're not talking really about the economics of this, because I'm not really making any money this year at all. But if my clients want to get married, then I'm going to heartily recommend just do it. Just do it, because next year I don't know what it's going to be like. Yeah. We may be in the same situation for the first 6 months or more. I don't know when the vaccine's going to come out, and I don't know who's going to get the vaccine, whether it's going to, I'm sure there's going to be a priority system, healthcare workers, vulnerable, over 50s, blah, 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 blah. Therefore, you know, social gatherings may not be on the agenda for another year. Mm. And in that case, just get married, because a wedding is about two people wanting to be together. And if you just want me to just make you a bouquet, then I'm happy to do that. Yeah. So my whole outlook on the way I operate my business has changed. It's more, it's just, it's intimate, it's personal, and I'm just trying to be a human being about this rather than put my business head on and say, oh no, it's not worth my effort. You know, marriage is worth your effort, and if you want to just tie the knot,
do it.
Do it.
Yeah. Coming back to creativity then, and florists remaining, well, just creatively challenged as much as anything, because you do need a challenge.
You do.
Because it's like a muscle, isn't it?
It is.
Creativity.
It is.
If you stop being creative, it's harder to, you know.
It is really hard.
To become creative again.
I've been kind of playing with flowers. I did, you know, at the beginning of the lockdown, I was just foraging in the garden, and I was just making things and putting it on IGTV and things. And I was trying to engage with fellow flower enthusiasts, not necessarily florists, just to go out and just pick some flowers, because, creating and arranging flowers is in my blood. It's just food for my soul. Mm. And I just think it's really important that if you are a florist and you're not actually practicing, then you do get a bit rusty. It's not that you're going to forget it, but that first time you go and we're in the autumn at the moment, and I made a wreath the other day, and a couple of people, I inspired a couple of people, and they put they posted their beautiful wreaths on Instagram and tagged me saying, inspired by the White Horse flower. And they said, I was rusty. And that's what I'm trying to say is, go and do. You know, it doesn't have to be a big, expensive styled shoot. But if you can do something like that, just to remind your clients what you're capable of, if you have got the funds to do that, then collaborate with other florists, with other people in the industry, photographers, whoever, and do that. Get together, because it's food for your soul being with those people that you would normally work with.
And you probably find, actually, and I can talk as a photographer, that there'll be many photographers that will be just delighted to have something that they can post.
Yes,
that
exactly.
They can not only practice on, but get new skills with. Lots of photographers, by the way, photograph flowers, but not many do it very well.
This is true.
Because they either add you've talked about this, where you hate it when they add those awful washes on them.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, it is a form, and it is a skill to
it's
be
an
able
art
to.
Form, yeah.
It is. And it's actually, there are photographers who have very successful still life businesses.
Yes.
That are built out of photographing flowers.
I think it's important that we just flex that creative muscle, however that might be, and to just reach out to, you know, fellow creatives in your industry or other florists. One of my friends a couple of weeks ago in September organised a florist gathering before we were down to 15. And I went up to Covent Garden, and there were all these lovely florists there. And we all paid 30 quid and the money went to a charity, Macmillan. So the cost of the flowers and then whatever was made went to charity. And I didn't know half of those people there. I was really nervous about it because, you know, I'm good to hide behind social media and the microphone of my podcast, but I don't do big group gatherings as a rule unless I'm teaching. Mm. But I went and I kind of moved around the room again, totally out of my comfort zone. But it was so good to speak to other people, and it was so lovely. Everyone was terrified to arrange the flowers because there were all these florists there, and I was just like,
all watching each other.
I'm just going to go for it. So I think I was first in. You know, it's like going swimming and getting all your kit off and jumping in. I just jumped in and I just stuffed it all together. But that's me. You know what? I'm very unapologetic about this is the style of floristry I do, and then everybody else got got on board and was making beautiful arrangements. And it just, the conversation flowed and we're all in the same boat. And I made a few new flower friends. Some of them are going to come and do one-to-ones with me. So business-wise, that was a great thing. But also, hopefully I'm giving something back to those fellow florists that are going to come and do a one-to-one with me. So if you can afford it, and I'm mindful that if you're not earning money, you can't, you know, put money out there and buy yourself the luxury of a workshop or something. But if you can do something where you can afford some flowers and just have a play, just to kind of remind yourself what it is that flower arranging, floristry gives you.
Now, talking of workshops, the next time you talk will hopefully be next week.
Yes.
There's nothing like actually saying something to make it come true.
Yes, so it is going to come true.
Here's the statement that the next podcast should be the one that we recorded last week, which is all about, it's here.
Yeah, how to do the flowers. finally, Neil has, I promise you, filmed me. It's really good.
And I think you come across so well on it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And your little side jokes.
So next week on the podcast, I am talking about how to do the flowers.
Yes.
I decided, because we were in autumn and we weren't in the spring when we were originally going to record these videos, how to do the flowers.
All that time ago.
I know. This might be perfect. So if you are really enthusiastic about flowers and want to learn how to do the flowers, the first episode is how to make a wreath, right down from scratch, how to make the moss base.
Including the moss base. I've never seen a moss base made up.
And then all the way through to making an autumn wreath. And then the next video released, which will be quite soon afterwards, I should imagine, is the Christmas wreath. And I'm talking to florists and I'm talking to flower enthusiasts, people who want to have a go at making these things. So it's not exclusively for florists, although it really, you know, it is a really useful tool and it's incredibly detailed. So I'm not just skipping through it in 15 minutes. This is 55 minutes worth of my hands and my voiceover talking you through it like you were actually in my workshop, which, of course, I am in my workshop, having a one-to-one with me. And so, next week we're back to business.
Yes.
But hang in there, lovely people.
Back to normal. Can I just say one thing, which might seem a trifle unfair at this stage? But we have lost a very close little friend.
Nutmeg died this morning. Oh, I'm going to cry now. Nutmeg died this morning and she went peacefully.
Mm.
And I took her to the vets to have her put down, but she actually died waiting in the boot of my car. She's gone.
Do you know it? Do you know?
Beloved dog.
She didn't appear in the video that you've just done.
No.
But she bloody does. Because there's a bit where I can just hear her pawing at the door.
Yes.
It's kind of like, excuse me, can I come in, please?
This goes out. This is dedicated to Nutmeg.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, lovely spaniel. 14 years old and literally until yesterday was just smiling and happy and waggy of tail. Yeah. And she's in canine heaven.
Yeah.
And
what do you think she'll be saying?
Would
you release those videos, please?
Yes.
Would you get on with it?
For God's sake.
You've been talking about this since April.
Yeah.
Come on, Mum.
There's a big hole in my life right now, and I don't know how I've managed to get through this, so thank you, Neil. Real tears, honestly. Real tears. I've had bloodshot eyes all throughout this podcast, but bless her. A good innings. A good innings. Yeah.